Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When someone is contemplating marriage, they ought to make sure that they know the person they are marrying. I'm not sure it happens in everyone's life, but in my life, it was the second date. And Marjorie said, "You want to have kids?" I'm thinking six. "You mean those little adults?" "You betcha. Six. Sounds good." But being a traditional kind of guy, I think someone ought to stay home. And she said, "I want to stay home." I said, "That's good. I want to work." And since we already went to the same church and we kind of hammered out the other details, we decided maybe we ought to keep on dating and see where this goes. But it was important to kind of get the big ones, get the big stuff out of the way up front. There's a story in the Old Testament about Ruth and Boaz. A field came up for sale, but the only way it could be bought, according to Old Testament law, was if the person who bought it also married Ruth. They were up front with this deal, as they should have been. So when one guy was offered the field and found out he had to marry Ruth, he said, "No thanks. I'll pass." But sometimes life throws curveballs after the deal that are in no way a product of deception. Someone could come down with cancer, could lose a job. These things weren't planned. Life happens. It is part of life. But it's all baked into the cake of marriage. Just look at what happened to Joseph in our story today when he was engaged to Mary. I'm sure he didn't think that it was going to include a flight to Egypt under the dead of night or being the provider and protector to God's son, the Messiah of the world. He didn't know marriage would bring these things, but he had no choice in the matter but to deal with it. But prior to the public vow, Joseph wanted out of the engagement, as our text tells us. When Mary came back from visiting Elizabeth, she would have been about 3 months or more pregnant. Joseph must have noticed. He must have thought to himself that Mary had been unfaithful to Joseph while she was visiting Elizabeth. The Bible doesn't say that he even spoke with Mary about this. It's hard to imagine the look on Joseph's face. Was it anger? Maybe it was sadness, disappointment. Did he walk out of the house and slam the door? The Bible doesn't say. I found it interesting that the Lord let him go through this disappointment and anger. He gave him time to fester on it and convince himself to divorce her quietly so as not to make a big scene. Perhaps Joseph then would have even seemed like the villain in the public eye for leaving her on her own after she was already pregnant. The Jewish culture of the day seemed to think they could just hand a woman a paper of divorce for all kinds of reasons. It wouldn't have been as shameful on Mary, even though in Joseph's mind she would have deserved it. Maybe Mary could have stayed at home with her parents, but that wouldn't have been an easy situation for her either. Here's the bottom line. Joseph wasn't filled with vengeance. He didn't want to go public and shame her. He loved her. But he also decided that he just couldn't stay with her if she was unfaithful, even before they had been married. That was a deal breaker. Joseph plays an important role in the Christmas story, although he doesn't really get a lot of glory. There aren't any church bodies worshiping him that I know of or praying to statues of him. He doesn't say a word in the Bible. But he's important. Jesus needed a protector, someone to step in and take care of him and Mary. Mary's reputation would also be at stake. It would be good for Jesus to have a faithful and honorable man in his household to provide for them. Joseph was the man that God chose for the job. His reaction to this situation shows a thoughtful and faithful man, not one who would fly off the handle or be filled with self-righteous indignation. Joseph first had to be convinced to change his mind about Mary. But how to do that? Mary couldn't just tell him, "Oh, don't worry, Joseph. I wasn't messing around. This is God's child within me. I'm having a virgin birth. I'm going to be famous. You wait and see." It would have been considered blasphemy. She couldn't be her own witness. Realistically, she couldn't have even told them that she had a vision from an angel either. It's not every day that stuff like this happens. This wasn't a once-in-a-lifetime thing. This was a once-in-eternity thing. So God sent an angel to Joseph, too. Joseph needed divine intervention. Not unlike each of us at times and in special circumstances. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." It is interesting how the angel refers to Joseph. Son of David. He is telling Joseph, and each of us today, you come from royal blood. You are one of David's offspring. Remember who David was. David was king of Israel. David was the one through whom the Messiah, the Savior of the world, would come. David was from Bethlehem, just as Micah had prophesied. "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are of old, from ancient times." David was also a man of faith. He was a sinner too, yet he believed that the Messiah was coming to save him. By calling Joseph, son of David, the angel was reminding Joseph who he was. He was an offspring of David, who was also waiting for the Messiah to come. Now, by adoption, Joseph would be able to legally make Jesus a part of that royal line. Now, more importantly, Joseph would be able to raise the Messiah. He would be able to hold the Messiah. He would be able to pray with the Messiah. He would be able to have a part in the raising of the Messiah. The one that he would raise would end up saving him and the world from their sins. So this was much more than a charity case for an unfaithful woman. This was a divine mission from God to take care of the mother of the Messiah, and more importantly, God in the flesh, Emmanuel. With this revelation from God, the angel changed everything. Little did Joseph know and appreciate what this mission would entail. It would entail the sacrifice of time and of money. Their lives would be in danger from Herod. They would have to flee to another country. The child would make them fugitives and enemies of the satanic forces from hell. This was a dangerous mission. It was a sacrificial mission. Yet it was also a mission filled with privilege, for Joseph would have the privilege of being able to hold God. Simon, with just one moment of holding Jesus in his arms, was ready to die in joy. How much more joy would Joseph have in helping to raise the perfect child, in helping to feed and raise God himself. Joseph didn't ask for any of this. He didn't want any of this. It was a scary thing to think about, raising the Messiah of the world. If this child is going to save the world and Satan wanted him dead, then Joseph had the responsibility to protect this child. But what did the angel say to him? Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Do not be afraid. I don't know about you, but I would be terrified. I was terrified of becoming a dad. I don't know about becoming dad to the Messiah. Terrifying. But remember, this was an angel, a powerful angel who had appeared to Joseph. Those angels would be with Joseph throughout his life. They would warn Joseph to leave Bethlehem, keeping ahead of Herod. They would protect Joseph on the way to Egypt. God would provide. Joseph wasn't in it alone. You and I are not in this life alone either. Life always throws challenges at each of us. You have your own sinful and fearful nature to deal with. Satan wants to attack you. But God is with you too. The same God who came in the flesh to sacrifice himself on the cross for you and me. The same God who comes in body and blood in the supper today. The same God who gives you forgiveness of sins. The same God who promises you his protection. Life throws plenty of curveballs at us. There are times we are faced with scary situations. We too want to give up and divorce ourselves from the situation, but God is still with us. You too have the privilege to hold Jesus in your hands and in your hearts through word and sacrament. We know that through our fears and our failures, we have Jesus and his forgiveness. We too, through faith and through baptism, are God's royal children. You need not fear because you have Jesus. Jesus changes everything. And here at the end of Advent, here in the miracle of Advent, no words of Joseph, no questions, just action. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Through these simple words, the angel completely changed Joseph's heart and mind. He went from someone who was going to divorce Mary to someone who would dedicate himself to her and to Jesus. God worked faith in his heart, and that changed Joseph's life. When Joseph understood who that baby in Mary's womb was, that baby was his Savior. That baby has come to save your life, too. There's so much to be afraid of, so much in this world, so much darkness, so many threats to our faith. There are so many other things to cling to in this world. It's easy to be fearful and want to run away. But listen to the angels from on high. Hear them sing about Jesus. Look at what Jesus did for Joseph and Mary. Jesus changes the worst situations into hopeful situations. He changes you from looking like a filthy adulterer into his precious bride. He calls you his beloved and holy child when you are a baptized believer in Jesus. You too are a son or daughter of David through faith in Jesus. Jesus changes everything. He changes how we look at life and death. He changes how we look at ourselves and the world around us. He calls each of us to sacrifice. He calls each of us to himself. He calls each of us to confess him in a world of darkness and unbelief. But he's worth every bit of it, because with him, each of us have full forgiveness and eternal life. With Jesus in our arms, we have hope. With Jesus in our arms, we have peace. With Jesus in our arms, we have joy. And with Jesus in our arms, we have love. Christmas is special because of Jesus. Jesus changes everything for you and for me. We get to hold Jesus in the arms of faith. It is a dangerous thing to do in this world, but it is worth every second of it. That is what Christmas is all about. Amen.